You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right, you have tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. This is a special studio recording. I'm your host today, Erin Fairbanks. And we are coming to you live from the back of Roberta's Pizza in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn on this rainy day. We are lucky to have some lovely ladies in the studio, Julia Sullivan and Allie Schneider of Haven's Kitchen. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
I got a little something on my mic there. So Haven's Kitchen, beautiful spot. Definitely check it out over on 17th between 6th and 7th. Walking by, you might think it is just a place to get your morning coffee, but it's so much more. So maybe, Allie, you can give us a little bit of a sense of what's available at the Haven's Kitchen. What are we coming to you for?
Oh, that could take a long, long time. So the opening sort of area is retail, which you're right. You can get your morning coffee there. You can get a lot of things there for breakfast and for lunch. And now we have like cheese and wine at dinner. But then in the back, we have a teaching kitchen, which is sort of the soul of the school, which is really why we started it, to teach people how to use produce again and to sort of reconnect people with the table and with cooking and with each other. And then upstairs, we have two private event spaces. One is a living room with a bar and a dining room. And then on the third floor, we have this huge loft space with another bar. So you can do everything from get your morning coffee to have your wedding. There.
Wow. Mm-hmm. One stop. I'm just kind of stay there. Can I sleep over?
Yeah, there are two questions. Everyone asks the same two questions when they walk in. The first is like, where the hell am I? Like, what is this place? And the second is, can I live here? Because people like it.
So it's your business. It was your idea. Can you tell us a little bit about, what prompted you to enter this kind of...
Joan Gussow basically prompted me. I mean, that's a little bit reductive, but a lot of things prompted me. I always loved cooking. I always loved teaching. I started giving tours at the Union Square Farmers Market as part of my internship. I'm in the NYU Food Studies program, and I know you've had a bunch of people on from there. And it just seemed like the kids were very sort of intuitively connected with agriculture and ecology and all the good things that we all know about. But the grown-ups were really disconnected, and they didn't know what I was talking about half the time. And I started getting a lot of emails from the parents and the teachers, and they wanted lessons. So I figured I would sort of combine the ecology piece and the sustainability piece with the cooking piece, sort of based on this clip of Joan talking about how you really can't change people's shopping habits if you don't teach them how to use what they're shopping for. So why would people continue to go to a farmer's market and buy local produce if they don't know what the heck to do with it? I think Wendell on one of these programs, Barry, said something very similar, like local food has become somewhat elitist because the art of cooking has become sort of this lost art. And so it is for the few at this point, which is why we came together and decided to start this school, and not a school where you're training people to be chefs, but a school where you're training people to know what to do with the asparagus or the rhubarb or the kale, or that funky looking cabbage that they've never seen before, so that they can use it and eat again.
Nice. Well, conveniently, you're just a few blocks from the Union Square Farmers Market.
That was on purpose.
Now, Julia, you joined the organization as the operations director, but you have a cooking background. Is that right?
I do, actually. Allie hired me as the chef, so I started with her in early 2011, and I helped her throughout the construction and design process, sort of figuring out the kitchen. That's not true.
We pretty much
figured out the kitchen, ended up adding a second kitchen so that we could have multiple classes and events going on at the same time, and sort of set up the systems and purchased equipment. And then got the cooking program started, and then moved into more of a management role more than anything else as an opportunity for myself to grow, because I've spent, you know, all my years since college in professional kitchens in New York and wanted to sort of be able to learn the other side of the business when I had this great opportunity to do it.
Nice. So what was the response like? I mean, you guys opened your doors and there was lines down the block, or?
No, not quite lines down the block, but I think it's been great. I mean, we have a great neighborhood. We have loyal morning customers. We have a school right across the street and teachers who are becoming our friends. We've had several weddings there, and we know we've sort of been a part of several people's very special day. The classes are an interesting learning curve for us, because we sort of thought that everyone would want to kind of come in and learn about what does sustainable mean, what does organic mean. You know, there's so many of these words being floated around and so many experts, and people aren't actually all that fascinated by it. They just want to make pasta and they just want to learn how to make a drink. And so we're sort of adjusting ourselves to being a little more subliminal in the teaching, rather than, you know, bang, bang, here's why you can't buy this from the supermarket. And that's kind of our approach anyway. We're a very sort of, you know, we don't like the shoulds and the shouldn'ts, because to us, that's not a really sustainable, I hate to use the word over and over and over again, but it's
a good
not.
Word.
It is, and it, I mean, at the end of the day, people aren't going to live by a set of things that they cannot do or they should not do. They're going to be much more attracted to a lifestyle that is about beauty and bounty and enjoyment.
Sure. You know? So you have to be a little bit more subversive when you're like, you know, putting your information out there and
right.
get them in the door, and then you can do what you right. want with them.
And right. that's why it's so pretty, and it's so, you know, you walk in and you're sort of like, oh, wow, where am I? Because if we looked like we were a cooking school trying to teach you about sustainable agriculture, we probably wouldn't have the response that we have, you know. So we sort of see ourselves as a triple bottom line business, and we see ourselves as a triple kind of heart business. You know, we have the events which fuel the business, frankly, and the retail, which sort of fuels our community connection, and then the school, which really fuels the mission of who we are and what we want to contribute to this movement.
Nice. So, Julia, what are some of the classes that you guys are teaching this time of year?
Well, tomorrow we're doing a Mardi Gras sort of celebration of New Orleans class to celebrate Fat Tuesday. Obviously, you know, because we are trying to keep people's attention, we're doing some things related to Valentine's Day this week. But I think, you know, as we all start to prematurely get excited about spring, the classes that, like Ali said, where we really try to use the ingredients sort of as the tools and as the ways of teaching people, in the spring we get really excited about taking people back to the green market. We'll actually go out and shop, sometimes with purpose, when we have a topic or a technique like pasta or stews or salads in mind. And sometimes we take and let them choose what they want to do and bring them back to the kitchen and have sort of like a mystery basket type thing, where they're really just focusing on technique and learning something that they've wanted to learn and then putting it together in a menu with their classmates and making a meal out of it. And I think that's one of the most remarkable things for me, is watching the 12 people who are, you know, strangers, or maybe a few of them are friends or couples, come in and really create a meal that's really beautiful and can sit down at the end, share a meal, have a bottle of wine, and, like, in a lot of cases, end up exchanging email addresses and coming back. And so that's, you know, a long way of saying we're excited about all of them.
We've got a lot of classes coming.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety. There actually is.
Now, I think one of the things, when I chat with friends of mine who don't feel very confident in the kitchen, they are always looking for kind of a magic bullet class. They're like, just teach me how to use a knife.
Right,
just teach me how to cook. so when you guys are looking at curriculum, are you trying to break it down so that people will attend like a series of classes over time? Or is there a separation between like looking to to produce a particular recipe versus kind of a skill building course? Or have you found that there's an interest in kind of one type of class versus the other? Or,
well, you have a whole different group of students for each type of class. There are some students that really just want that knife skills class, and it does make them better cooks. Learning how to hold a knife is a huge step in being able to make your way around a kitchen. And learning how to do a couple of different, you know, cuts is kind of exciting. But then you have people that are far beyond that, that want to, you know, sort of advance their skills. And we try to sort of have a big variety of all of those different things. We're not particularly recipe oriented as a rule, because again, our goal is to get people to not feel restricted by recipes or by what they can or can't do. We just want people to feel jazzed about getting back in the kitchen. And so we sort of say, like, you know, we try to give people skills and techniques that they can take and use in all sorts of recipes, in all different directions, kind of. We do give out recipes at the end. We email the students their recipes from what they've made. But for the most part, we sort of want to trigger, you know, I think you said something like that about, I don't think you said the word fear, but there is a lot of fear, you know, connected with cooking, and people are on one hand so not connected to it, and on the other, they think that what they need to create needs to look like what they see on TV, which is like me thinking that I should look like a model. You know, it's like silly, and they're not real. So what we try to do is just get everyone sort of comfortable again. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to look like Martha Stewart. It can just be really tasty and crack open a bottle and everyone will enjoy it anyway.
You know? Rustic is one of our favorite words.
We like the word rustic.
With intuition.
And convivial.
With your taste, with your senses. You know, taste as you go, look, what does it look like? And then if the result is kind of rustic, that's okay, because we like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a little bit about sources of inspiration. Are there? I know that, you know, we've talked, you've brought up Joan Dyke Gussow and Wendell Berry. And I'm curious, like, where are the other sources that are kind of driving you organizationally that you look to kind of, when you're slogging through the day of cleaning up after the class or, mm-hmm. you know, post-event pickup, you know, what's the kind of higher purpose?
You want to take that one?
Sure. Yeah. I think, you know, it's really incredible because it is such a versatile business, and even our event space, you know, you can do everything from a 12-person cooking class to 125-person wedding. There's a lot of range within that. And so for us, it's actually, it keeps things really interesting because we're not, you know, line cooking where we're cooking the same thing every day. It's like every day is very different from the rest. That being said, I think, you know, I'm constantly drawing on my experience in restaurant kitchens, and, you know, we have a beautiful shelf full of all of our favorite cookbooks. And so, you know, just getting reinvigorated about these like small technique driven classes that, you know, for instance, tomorrow night when we're cooking gumbo to celebrate Mardi Gras, thinking about, well, you know, to me right now, that's sort of second nature. But to someone who's never done that before, you get to talk about a roux and the ratio for making a roux and just getting back to these, you know, I do a chicken pot pie class where like, it seems so simple, but the amount of skills that go from making a roux to making a stock, then turning those into a velouté, then cooking vegetables and cooking meat, and then making a pastry, and then you put it in the oven and you have some time to make a salad and a dessert, and all of a sudden you've hit on all these really, really focused techniques that then people can take back into their own kitchens. And like Ali said, we kind of try to stay away from handing out the recipes because it keeps you from really seeing and feeling and touching and tasting what you're doing. And so I think we draw inspiration from a lot of, you know, our favorite culinary people and our favorite, you know, sustainable agriculture type figures on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. You're making me hungry. Let's take a...
I know, you used a word in there. I was like, what?
Let's take a short break, and then I want to come back and talk a little bit more about community.
Rock on.
I like the way you
You're listening to Lovin' Like This by the California Honey Drops on heritageradionetwork.org. The way you took it so slow, and I've been so satisfied. No, I ain't never, 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 never had no lovin' like this before. And I just want to testify that you, yeah, you made me feel so good inside. And oh, babe, you really ought to know that I ain't never, 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 never had no loving like this before.
Catskill Provisions has Valentine's Day literally in the bag with their Seal the Deal gift bag. Start with chocolate honey truffles, and then move on to breakfast in bed with their traceable organic pancake mix and New York State maple syrup. Sure to satisfy any ardent locavore, check out the Catskill Provisions Seal the Deal package at www.catskillprovisions.com.
All right, we are back in the studio at heritageradionetwork.org. You've tuned in to a special studio session. We are in studio. I'm going to say studio one last time.
and sustainability.
And sustainability. With Julia and Allie of Haven's Kitchen. And I wanted to touch a little bit on the sense of community. You mentioned that, you know, you measure the success of your business on a variety of bottom lines. And one mm-hmm. of the things that you're working to do with your AM Cafe is build a relationship with folks in the neighborhood. But I know you guys also host a lot of... you know, donated events, volunteer events, fundraising events. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how that type of work plays into your business model.
Well, I think community is an interesting word because I don't know if you've ever seen, my first grader has this book where he's a dot and he learns about his class and then he learns about his school and then he learns about his city. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And then it's like his planet and his universe. And I kind of think about Haven's that way. Like it starts off with our community sort of amongst ourselves. So, you know, we build our own community by having staff meal every day, you know, by sort of caring for each other in a way that I don't know if a lot of companies do. Sometimes it gets a little oddly close and perhaps a little inappropriate, but you know,
Julia's smiling.
Right.
This is radio. You guys can't see, but she's smiling in a way that doesn't look fake, but genuine.
No, because I'm like, you know, touchy feely hippie mama, and she's not quite so much. But so we start off that community, and then it kind of grows to the street. You know, we have this school across the street, and you know, right off the bat, they got a discount on their morning coffees and their afternoon coffees and their after work coffees, and now their lunches. And turns out that they have this roof on their school with a hoop house that is not being used. So we went to the headmaster and are now building them a rooftop garden. And we'll be taking some of the produce from it, but we'll also be sort of giving these little one-off classes to these high school students and also giving the teachers some tools so that they can then go and teach. So that's our community of, you know, across the street. And then it kind of expands and expands. And what we'd like is for there to be all these different entry points kind of to us. So if you buy a cup of coffee, you're part of our community. If you get married there, I mean, we've had couples come back for staff meal after they've been married just because they wanted to hang out there. You know, they are forever a part of who we are. And we also do, as you said, we work with Just Food. That's one of our, you know, big partners, and Edible Schoolyard New York and Farm Aid, which is interesting because I didn't really realize that Farm Aid did so much in New York. I always thought they were sort of, you know, the Midwest kind of Willie Nelson thing. but they're a huge supporter of a lot of our local farms in this state and a really cool organization to partner with. So they're a part of our community, you know, and we have events where we have all different ticket prices so that people can come and experience us without necessarily having their own private event for thousands of dollars. You know, so it's sort of these like circles building out. And you know, eventually to the world.
Yeah, and that's really interesting too. And I like to bring up with people is that, you know, my friends who are in their 20s and, you know, young professionals are sort of, you know, they may be turned off by some of our higher priced events, but we have all sorts of things going on. So whether you're in the market for a private event or if you just really want to go to a great happy hour on a Thursday night, we have a lot to offer. And something that we've been doing for the since we opened to sort of build our community in the food world are these once monthly supper clubs that we do in our dining room where we, you know, host the dinner, but then have chefs come in and cook for people in our dining room. And we have been so, so lucky to have a lot of really interesting, great chefs come in and cook within the first year, including Michael Anthony and Seamus Mullen, and just have, you know, really, really enriched our experience and inspired us. And we do have one next month that sort of ties together that idea of community and nonprofit and these sorts of events, which is Mark Bittman and John George are coming to do a benefit for Rural and Migrant Ministry, which is an organization in upstate New York that is trying to fix some of the fair labor standards for farmers in New York and sort of advocates for them and creates community for them and has youth programs for their children along the way. And so that's an opportunity for us to use our resources and our space, which is a really hard thing to come by in New York. It's just a raw space to do something. And ours isn't that raw. You know, it's very much our aesthetic, our tables, our glassware. It's maybe more similar to a restaurant private dining room than a blank event space. But we have this wonderful resource. We have these connections to great chefs, and then we have people who we know can really benefit from that and who are fighting for a cause that we also care about. So so that has been a really beautiful thing that has come, you know, happened in 2013 that we're really excited about.
Nice. I mean, it's funny. Once you kind of open yourself up and your space up to that world, it's, you know, who knows what's going to come your way. It must be really exciting and invigorating on a day-to-day.
It's amazing. Every day is amazing, and the people that you get to meet, and the connections that you make, and you know, it's a great life to live. I mean, it's a great place to be every day, no question.
That place is Haven's Kitchen. Well, ladies, thanks so much for joining us in the studio to give us just a brief intro into your work, and I look forward to having you back to continue talking about ongoing projects. If folks want to find out more, they should visit www.havenskitchen.com or stop by, right?
Totally. Yeah. Stop by.
Come get a coffee.
Yeah, and if you say that you heard us on the radio, we'll give you a free something.
Free something. I
free
like it.
Something.
You
Thank
heard it
you,
here.
Aaron.
Well, this will be on the archives for the rest of time for free
Great.
Something.
2020.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for tuning in out there. This has been
Thank
another
you.
Studio session from Thanks the Heritage Radio us. Network. As always, this and all 30 of our live weekly programs are available for free via iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, or archived on our website. We are a member-supported organization, so if you like what you're hearing and believe in what we're doing, we hope you'll consider clicking that donate button at www.heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.